Howdy, everybody. Welcome back to Readin' Heathens, the unholy and wholly uninformed Bible study podcast. I'm your host, Adam B., here with your other host, Daniel T. How you doing, Daniel?
Howdy, Adam. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. How you doing, Daniel?
I'm doing great. We're well, just two doing great people. How's your bank account, Adam?
You know, it's a little thinner after having some good times this weekend, but I am lucky enough to be out of the peanut butter zone, which means that I won't be just eating peanut butter at the end of the month.
Yeah, that's all. I was thinking about. I went to a wedding recently, and it was kind of the fanciest wedding I've ever been to in my life.
So, what does that mean, Daniel? Does it mean that people weren't just wearing overalls?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't connected to a church house. There actually was a bar. There wasn't a buffet style. You know, it seems like every wedding I've ever been to is a buffet.
I thought that was preferable. I thought that was actually more expensive.
Well, actually, I don't know. Well, this one was like 8 courses, and then they brought out things for, you know, to the table. It was also a little different because it was a Chinese wedding, so they had so it was more family style rather than multiple plate, everybody got their own plate, you know, kind of thing, you know, pick steak or fish situation.
So what you're saying is it was a buffet, they just set it all on the table in front of you.
Well, yeah, I mean, each table had their own buffet, I guess. But anyways, the thought was, kind of connected to us not having any peanut butter anymore. The reason I've never been to a fancy wedding is because previously the only weddings I went to are, you know, college friends who are either in college or just out of college who don't yet have any money. And they're just, for some reason, dumb enough to go ahead and get married. And then now this is like my first young professional wedding. And it felt weird. It felt weird for like people who were getting married and it like made sense and it was a smart idea. And like they were ready for life.
Well, you know, I still have two of my best friends got married to their girlfriends from high school. I think both of them waited until after they were out of college, or maybe later in college for one of them. But it seems like they got all those things knocked out pretty quick, you know, the having real jobs and a house and stuff. I think they were just more put together people to begin with.
We do tend to be around people who are, well, let's just say, trying to stave off adulthood, you know?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Speaking of it, you want to make fun of the Bible?
You want to make fun of the Bible for no money and only risk of our family being mad at us? Yeah, let's do it, Adam.
I'm joking. We don't make fun of the Bible. We simply read it as it is. On the page.
Yeah.
Oh, it reminds me, our very normal version of Amazing Grace was by Leanne Rimes.
Leanne Rimes, country music artist and Scandinavian, did you say?
No. Oh. I think I misread something on Wikipedia.
Well, she looks
but
like
I mean,
she could
she's definitely white with blonde hair.
Yeah.
So, could be.
Ultra white, as they say.
Is that who says that?
I don't know.
Sounds kind of racist, Daniel.
Yeah, you never want to be part of a group that calls themselves ultra white.
Unless I don't have a joke for that, Daniel. It's seeming like it's going to be one of those episodes where we really just grasp for something to hold on to. Do we at least have a good chapter coming up?
Yeah, no, it's a good chapter, and you're editing this one, so. Yeah, you know, just remember to cut to where you say, picking up at verse 1.
All right. So here, let me set this up. Great. Glad you're doing well, Daniel. picking up with verse 1 at Genesis chapter 37, this is kind of separate from the stories we're leaving behind, right? Aside from bloodline.
Yeah, the previously we were learning about bloodlines and really learning that Jacob, now Israel, is like setting up shop somewhere, and I think we're kind of done with a lot of the characters from the past, and we're gonna lean into like Jacob and his kids.
Direct descendants of Jacob, though, right?
Yeah, we're actually not skip like we thought. We're not skipping ahead in the timeline. We're going back to Jacob, like more about his kids, anyways. But it is moving on to his kids.
Rachel was in fact Jacob's wife, not his mom. Okay. So
it's getting very she died. Hard.
The last thing that happened is she died, and then we learned some about Esau's family line, and now we're getting back to Jacob.
Yeah, which, you know what, just kind of shows how the Bible sometimes, they really need, like, you're really supposed to just remember everything that's happened, because they didn't really provide much context to, like, who Rachel was and, like, how big of a deal it would be for her to die. No. Also, I can't remember things.
We're awful at this.
My brain is bad.
This is titled Joseph's Dreams, which is exciting because I think I know who this Joseph is.
Yeah.
Kind
he's
of
a
shot.
musical theater kid.
Uh-huh. He's going to do some singing and dancing. I think with like stereotypical French dudes at some point.
Yeah.
Doesn't that happen in Technicolor Dreamcoat?
I never built it, so actually I have no idea.
I did. I worked on a production of it, and I remember for when they were in Egypt, we had these giant like Egyptian, you know, like walkways and stuff, mm-hmm. like with sphinxes or something.
Yeah.
But they had to roll in on stage very quickly, these towering structures. It was like 13 feet tall was a platform that people were dancing on.
Jesus.
And they had to roll in and then lock to each other, and then people had to do like a kick line on top of them. And it was so unstable that me and three other stagehands were underneath it in the dark, bracing it as it shook back and forth every show. We're just in there like holding it best we can while it's shaking like 6 inches side to side while people are dancing on it with no handrails.
Don't you just love regional theater?
It was kind of badass. But we could have killed several acting interns hired by their professors who were cast in the show.
Yeah. At least they didn't cost any money, so they, you know, didn't have to pay for their salary and the lawsuit later on.
Yeah, well, they made more money than I did.
Yeah.
All right. Genesis 37, titled in my New International Version as Joseph's Dreams. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And he brought their father a bad report about them.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
So he's just snitching on them.
That's sure what it seems like. Now Israel, which is another name for Jacob at this point.
They keep going back and forth.
So now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Ruh-roh. Joseph had a dream. Wait, what's that?
I just said ruh-roh. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like Israel's just setting up Joseph for failure here.
Yeah, well, this is kind of become the story as old as time here, where there's a favorite son, and then, you know, the different sons are going to start backstabbing each other.
And this is his favorite son. It says because he was born to him in his old age. But if I recall, he may also be the only son born to him by, I believe, was Rebecca his? No, Rachel.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, it's definitely, I think he is definitely, you know, I mean, we'll just say a non-bastard son or maybe, I mean, but it, I don't know. It's hard to tell. They tend to like the sons that come from the very first wife.
Yes. But as we know about Jacob, his first wife was not his favorite wife. His second wife was his favorite wife.
Yeah.
Okay, I shouldn't have stopped. Verse 5. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." Yeah, that's it. Maybe keep that dream to yourself, Joseph.
Yeah. I had a dream where you all bowed down to me. Hold on, can we get a definition for sheave?
A sheave of wheat or a sheave of grain? I think it's just, you know, like one stalk of grain.
Okay. I can get behind
it's
that.
It's like one of those little, you know, like they use them as symbols. I'm looking up the sheave of wheat, but I spelled it so wrong that it says sieve of what? Daniel, this is bad.
It's fine. Look, you came here to hear us talk about the Bible. We're answering questions, right? If you're a listener out there, do you know what a sheave is? No, I don't think you do. So shut the fuck up while Adam looks it up.
I'm guessing they might. S-H-E-A-V-E of wheat. A sheave of wheat. Oh, okay. So it's, you know, you get one of those pretty wheat stacks that has a cord wrapped around the middle.
Oh, okay.
Some people use it decoratively.
Uh-huh. That's one sheaf.
Okay.
That's kind of like a story I heard in church one day where this guy said he had a dream where he was looking out into the congregation and he just saw piles of burning flames. And it was the flames to him represented people who were sinning. And I remember him pointing out that how he was happy he couldn't tell who were the sinners. But that he was looking out and could see that there were a bunch of sinners sitting amongst the congregation.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was very, very serious.
He just, like, got up and said that?
I think he was like, do you know how you would have, like, these ancillary preachers that weren't the main preacher who would get up every now and again and do some shit?
Nah, my dad worked hard.
No, okay, well.
he did it most Sundays.
This was just, like, maybe a Sunday night, like, you know, people would take the reins sometimes, and it would get wild every now and again.
Okay. My favorite story I ever heard like that is there was once we had like a prayers and concerns section. Mm. It was just like, you can raise a prayer request. And usually it was like, my aunt is sick, you know, pray for her. But one time this guy who I liked a lot got up and he said, "Now, Brother Bruce, I just wanted to share this morning that I woke up and I was sitting on my porch and this beautiful little bird got up on the telephone wire and it was just singing and singing, singing a beautiful song and I was filled with the joy of the Lord," or something to that effect, and then sat down.
Everybody's just like, "All right, well, great."
"Glad you saw a bird while you were smoking a doobie."
I like the fact that he was smoking a doobie. And that he would have called it a doobie.
"Well, this morning I rolled a fat one and sat out in my rocking chair and watched my neighbor shout at his son. He took a sheave of wheat from the pasture and beat his bare legs.
And I just went on smoking my favorite AK-47.
Picking up with verse 8. His brother said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." All right, Joseph's kind of an asshole.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, at least he's got the family genes where nobody learns from their mistakes the first time. I mean, I know this is early man. I mean, they don't, like, we have tons of civilization and history to learn from. But come on, Joseph. You had another dream. Here's how it should have read. Joseph had another dream, and he kept it all to himself.
Yeah. Verse 10. When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind.
Ooh.
Okay. I got a subtitle here. Joseph sold by his brothers.
Oh, damn.
Now, his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I am going to send you to them." "Very well," he replied. So he said to him, "Go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me." Then he sent him off from the valley of Hebron. When Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the fields and asked him, "What are you looking for?" He replied, "I am looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing their flocks?" "They have moved on from here," the man answered. "I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance before he had reached them. They plotted to kill him.
Oh, damn.
What was Joseph doing not already with his brothers? I guess he lives kind of a privileged life and doesn't work in the field, maybe?
Well, that would explain why maybe his brothers already started at a negative with him, because it seems to me like he doesn't have to graze as much. Like, he just gets to sit around and get plenty of sleep, apparently.
This is like a reverse Harry Potter. Yeah. Everybody else is living under the stairs, and our hero is just a little Dursley boy.
Yeah, walking around talking about everybody's going to bow to him.
Here comes verse 19, and sorry, here's verse 19. God dang it, verse 19. Here comes that dreamer. See, I couldn't say here comes verse 19. Here comes that dreamer. That would have been confusing, Daniel. Yeah. Glad I cleared it up. "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. "Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams." When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. "Let's not take his life," he said. "Don't shed any blood. Throw him into the cistern here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him." Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father.
Oh, okay. I thought he was suggesting they throw him into a cistern, which I'm just going to say is a well. And let him starve.
Yeah, I think a cistern just collects rainwater and holds it. When Reuben heard this, verse 23. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ornate robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. The cistern was empty. There was no water in it. Hmm. Now, wait a second. Has anywhere it mentioned that this coat had many colors? It's just called it an ornate robe.
Well, actually, Adam, as this story continues, I'm just remembering, I think he creates his coat of many colors because he creates it out of different fabrics while he's a slave. Which might be a little bit of a spoiler to the story we're telling right now.
I think that's nuts. But I'm calling that malarkey in the words of my hero, Joe Biden.
Who also created a coat of many colors, but that's just because he can't, you know, that's before they quit letting him dress himself. That's the best political joke I can muster on this Sunday.
I thought you were somehow gonna relate it to him being like, you know, old white guy trying to appeal to many different colors.
Oh, yeah.
Why do you think I'm racist? I have a coat of many colors. So they threw him in the cistern, an empty cistern, 25. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." His brothers agreed. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the cistern and saw that Joseph was not there, he tore his clothes. He went back to his brothers and said, "The boy isn't there. Where can I turn now?" Then they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in the blood. They took the ornate robe back to their father and said, "We found this. Examine it to see whether it is your son's robe." He recognized it and said, "It is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on a sackcloth, and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. "No," he said, "I will continue to mourn until I join my son in the grave." So his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard.
Dun, the dun. This kind of got like a little cinematic towards the end, and like,
yeah, this is some of the most detail we've ever had in a Bible story.
Yeah, so this sets up what I think what we know as the Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat, like we've been saying, like, but it sets it up nice, like gets thrown into an empty well, which sounds more dangerous than a well with water in it, for sure.
Well, I mean, unless the water was taller than your head, then you'd be in real trouble.
Yeah, then you'd have to float for a long time.
The most interesting thing to me is that Reuben tore his clothes, which I thought maybe it meant toward Joseph's clothes, but no, apparently Reuben just tore his own clothes.
Just in like anger and sadness.
So does his pa.
Yeah, and he puts on a sack.
Yeah, put on sackcloth, which I guess is like burlap, you know, or just some really rough stuff. Which I've heard, you know, I'm sure the Quest Bible will tell us that's like a common thing to do in mourning, but I like to imagine that he just went crazy in his grief.
Yeah.
And this rich man's just wandering around in a sack.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you what the Quest Bible says.
Yeah.
Quest Bible. Why did Jacob tear his clothes? This custom dates far back in ancient history. Clothes represent a person's personality. To tear them indicated a grievous inner hurt. Yeah, it's just expression of grief. And I guess it...
Let's bring that back. I want to see some sad people get naked.
It's just like tear clothes off at all the funerals.
People were stronger back then.
Oh, the Quest Bible has a great little map that shows you how Joseph, now a slave, gets taken over to Egypt.
Okay.
It's pretty much the way you'd think. This is kind of an interesting thing, though, for people who are better at geography than we are. Where they're hanging out, Bethel, is essentially just northeast of the Dead Sea. It's on the Dead Sea in between the Mediterranean Sea, which is essentially like the Middle East area. And so, if you're obviously better with geography than I am, that's you would know where that is.
Well, I'm going to give this chapter a good old, I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5, Daniel.
Yeah, dude. I mean, this is a solid chapter, especially after the last one with all the names.
And also all these classic Bible tales that have had zero detail and don't resemble the original, or don't resemble the version of the story I heard very much. You know, this seems pretty exactly, you know, what I know about Joseph.
Yeah, it's interesting. Something that maybe we should look up one time if we care to do research. These older stories, they seem to be getting better and better. I don't know if maybe there's just more interesting stories to be had because there's like more civilization to pull from. This is kind of like getting in. It's obviously like one of the bigger stories in the Bible, but it's getting into some of the best writing in the Bible. You know, kind of the more like holding you there, a little more like in the past, you know, it would have been just like Jacob's brothers hate him because they hate him. And then they killed him because they killed him, you know.
Yeah, I would have repeated three sentences about 30 times and that would have been the chapter.
I mean, when you go back to, you know, way, way back in this podcast, just when Cain and Abel were tussling, it was literally just, they don't like each other. You know, Cain kills Abel.
I don't even know if it gave us the insight that they didn't like each other.
Yeah, it was just, you know, somebody saw favor and then boom, killed him. Didn't even say with a rock like most people think it does.
Or the jawbone of an ox, which I, for some reason, am still holding on to.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope it's the jawbone of an ox. I'm with you. I'm going to give this one, just we'll be rating buddies here, and I'll say 4 out of 5 as well.
Right on. Well, cool, Daniel. I'm going to edit the hell out of this episode. And we still got to do some repair work on an earlier episode.
Yeah.
Please stick with us because things are going to get exciting. Oh, wait, you think that was a bad appeal?
Stay here because one day things are going to be exciting.
Please. Please, all 10 of you, keep hanging on.
Follow us on Instagram at @hostedpod. Also, something we should remind everybody of, we're part of a network where we have a lot of different content across a couple different platforms. And so we're part of what we call the Hosted Pod Network.
I don't think we're going to get our 10 listeners to put up with any of our other projects.
Well, listen, I just want to explain, that's why our Instagram is at @hostedpod, not at Reading Heathens like most people would think it should be. But yeah, follow us there. And if you want to, email us at hostedpod@gmail.com. And go to our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/hostedpod, for a bunch of other shows and things you could watch.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.